The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. My name is Gil Alexander. That right there is Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
What's up, party people?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Great, man. You know, you have one job today on the show.
Ooh.
Do you know what it is?
No.
You have to be on Tuchus Bushwatch.
Oh, yes. Yes.
These are the two things that they tabled. The NFL rules stuff that they tabled a little more than a month ago was the Tush Push, whether that will be allowed anymore in the NFL. And the other one was playoff seeding. Will we stick to what it is, or are they going to change it? Who was it? The Lions were the ones who wanted to change the playoff seeding into forget the divisions, forget the automatic of, you know, a division winner being what slotted in no matter how bad you are as at the lowest, the four seed. You just do it by record.
So there was revisions then on both of these, right? So the Tush Push.
This is the language. This was the interesting line. So this is the Packers pushing this.
Yeah.
The Packers with the Tush Push, they submitted a revision of the rule proposal that would more broadly ban pushing or pulling the ball carrier anywhere on the field. In the proposal's updated language, quote, offensive players cannot assist the runner except by individually blocking opponents for him. And they also eliminated the phrase immediately at the snap in the updated language so that you could, like, in other words, it applies to the entire play.
It expands it more, yeah.
And they think that by changing those two things, they will get the necessary votes for this to be banned.
So then, didn't I see a revision on even the higher seed? They're not going to use it for the wild card round. They would use it for the divisional round. I believe I saw that as well.
Oh, I did not see that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that one's going through. I could be very wrong, but I don't think that one's going through. First of all, I hope that one's not going through.
Me too.
Through.
I know you and I are on the same page about that. I actually feel like I've got strong opinions on all of these. Like that one, sorry if your division stinks. You should still get something for winning it. I believe in that, and whatever, however the playoffs shake out, they shake
out. Also, why would like AFC South teams ever vote to change that? Like they would never want that because they're like, we kind of suck. Really? So.
And like always. Yeah. No, you're totally right. Like, why would you ever want to do that?
They might not say those words out loud. Yeah.
Tush Push. You know what? I will give them this, Gil. If you want to reevaluate this in 10 years, fine. This feels like way too short of a sample size and one team doing it way too well for us to have this kind of reaction to try to get it out of the game completely.
By the way, it's actually, when they go into the stats, it's actually two teams that do it very well.
Yeah, Bills too, right?
Bills do it very well too. The Bills just don't get nearly the publicity because the Eagles were the originators and perfecters of this thing.
There's one other NFL thing that I've kind of got like thoughts on, that this whole Olympics flag football thing. I think it's going to be really cool. It's going to be really cool to watch if NFL players are playing at flag football in the Olympics. But, oh, boy, how much regret is there going to be as soon as we get the first major injury that happens?
What was my man's name for the New England Patriots back in the day? Remember in Hawaii in the sand?
Oh, yeah. That stupid thing. Yeah, playing flag football in the sand. Yeah.
Robert Edwards.
I don't remember who it
Robert
was.
Edwards was his name, I believe.
Maybe. I don't remember.
Anyway, it's like careers can end, you know?
Right, exactly. The first time we see an ACL blown or something in the Olympics, we're going to be like, oh, I don't know about this.
If you're a fan of your team, you're praying no one plays in this.
Yes.
All right, so we're on Tush Push Watch this morning. I thought the language change the Packers were going to make were to change it to Tuchus Push, which would really put it over the top, but apparently not. Mark Borchardt on baseball coming up. We'll talk conference finals in the NBA. Jake Hahn with the NHL semis, if you will, otherwise known as the conference semis there as well in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll talk with Jake about that. That begins tonight. Drew Dinsick, hour number two, NBA playoffs, and anything he has to say about Hamburg or Strasbourg or any of the clay court tournaments going on this week. Obviously, the French Open beginning at the end of this week. So Sunday night stateside, Monday morning in Paris. That's when the French Open, the second tennis major, will begin. We'll see if Drew has any thoughts on that. Same goes with Ben Wilson. Any thoughts on the French? And Ben Wilson covers college baseball. When I say covers, he does play-by-play for college baseball all the time. When we walked in here this morning, we saw tennis from Europe on the screens here at Circa, and the other thing we're seeing is college baseball.
This is conference tournaments, man. Tuesday morning, bright and early on the East Coast, and they're playing games.
So Ben Wilson with all his thoughts, get a little future play from him or two as we approach Omaha, as we approach the College World Series here in a few weeks' time. By the way, speaking of the NFL, I went down because there was no basketball or hockey last night. That was the first again. How was the first night in how long?
In a month.
In a month where we didn't have any hockey or basketball. So it was just a baseball baseball strong night, and even baseball wasn't a full slate. So I went down the Warren Sharp NFL schedule rabbit hole a little bit last night. We love Warren. Maybe we'll have Warren on later on the later on this week on the show. Warren has a cottage industry of breaking down NFL schedules. And I don't know if he's nearly the better that we are, right? We're much more immersed in betting than he is. He's more of a broader football guy. I think he dabbles in it. But he really should be like, this is his main gig at this point, is like sort of an ombudsman for the NFL schedule, mm-hmm. like just making sure the NFL is on its P's and Q's. So I just want to go through a few things from him. And sort of like put it in a betting or non-betting context. So let's take the Cincinnati Bengals, for instance. This is Warren Sharp on the schedule. Third straight year, the Bengals are playing Baltimore on a short week on a Thursday night at Baltimore. Third straight year. It's only the fourth time in history this has ever happened to any team playing another team that they've played third time short week on a Thursday night. By the way, the Bengals lost the last two straight up to the Ravens. Last 20 years, the Ravens hosting Thursday games are 9-0 straight up. By the way, they're 2-6 on the road. Well, Bengals 7-2 at home. They're 2-6 on the road when they play short week Thursday night football games on the road or at home, but short week being the point. The Bengals have only hosted the Ravens once in that span in the last 20 years. Once on a Thursday since 2006. So this is what he's trying to get at here, is the imbalance of making Cincinnati have to do this for a third straight year. This rarely happens, and the Ravens get the best of it again. Now, here's the thing. From a betting standpoint, that's, you know, it's a fascinating fact to know. This was the whole time I was going through his stuff, I was thinking to myself, okay, is this actionable information?
Mm.
And for me, you know, it's going to be built into the line at that time of year.
Yep.
And a lot of his stuff is good, I think, from a betting standpoint, from a season-long standpoint. It's like a tool in your toolbox of, oh, if I'm thinking about betting the Bengals season win total over-under or the Ravens season win total or over-under, this is just one bullet point to keep in mind kind of thing. But then there's some other stuff that I think is actionable, right? So, again, from a season win standpoint or, you know, just your general feeling on a team. The Steelers, toughest schedule in football, and the Giants overall have the toughest schedule. Browns second toughest, Lions third toughest. We'll get to that in a minute. But the Steelers have the number one toughest schedule of opponents per Warren, week 7 on. So now this to me is something you should keep in mind, because when you do adjusted season win totals, that draws a line, right, where you might want to wait till after week 6 and then pound the under. Like, you'd almost hope for the Steelers to do well the first 6 weeks of the season. They have a bye in there. So let's say, I don't know, let's say they went 3-2, or, oh my God, let's say they went 4-1, which is very possible, by the way, right? At Jets, home Seahawks, at Patriots, Vikings game is in Dublin, then after a rest, a home game against the Browns. So let's say Mike Tomlin does this Mike Tomlin thing, when all of a sudden Steelers are 4-1, everybody's talking about, oh, Mike Tomlin's never had the losing season, blah, 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 and all that's out there. This is just a good sort of note to have, like, okay, but then after that, number one toughest schedule opponents week 7 on. It's also the second toughest rest and prep schedule. Talk about rest is scheduling disadvantage in 5 of their 6 toughest games. 3-day rest disadvantage versus Buffalo, 3-day rest disadvantage in Baltimore, 1-day rest disadvantage in Detroit, 7-day disadvantage versus Cincy, and the other game again, Cincy short week road game on a Thursday night. So that to me is actionable Warren Sharp information, right? Where it's like, okay, here's where it gets really tough. So I think you bookmark something like that. Raiders, again, this is the Warren Sharp rabbit hole I went down last night. No team got hit harder by the 2025 NFL schedule than the Raiders, he says. Fewest rest edge games. Remember now, an edge and rest means, let's say you both, let's say you played, Kelly, you played on a Sunday, but I played on a Monday. And then we're both playing, you know, Sunday. You have a 1-day rest advantage in that. And then he aggregates it over the total year. So the Raiders, fewest rest edge games, only one where they have the edge this year. Most rest disadvantage games, they have six rest disadvantage games. and their net is minus 19 days of rest, the worst in the NFL for the Las Vegas Raiders. Early road games, short weeks, brutal setup. And the last one I want to point out is the Lions, because the Lions overall, when you look at their opponents, right, and this is how, like, going through a schedule sometimes just when they would put up the grid of a schedule can be misleading. So when you look at the Lions' schedule, look at those opponents. I mean, that's the third hardest schedule in the NFL. They play a brutal first-place schedule. But as Warren points out, and I think this is actionable just from a season-long standpoint, before you're ready to fade the Lions' win total, right, to go under on something like that, he points out that the Lions play teams coming off Monday Night Football. Guess how many times, Kelly? Five times.
That's pretty crazy.
And they have a rest advantage in eight games, meaning almost half their schedule, they have the rest advantage in individual games. The most that he's ever seen, only one game with a rest disadvantage. So basically, it's a plus +7 in games in terms of advantage and rest for the Lions. No other team in their division, by the way, is more than zero, more than even. They have 13 days of rest cumulative over their opponents. Fifth largest rest edge in the last 25 years. So wow. In other words, for the Lions, when you just look at their schedule, the list of opponents is very difficult, but the way that that it was sequenced gives them the pendulum swinging back to it being an advantage is humanly possible.
I'm okay with them doing that with these first place schedules too, because I think we get a little imbalanced sometimes.
Yeah, but to that extent, ooh. Anyway, so that's the thing. We'll have them on later in the week, but I found it interesting because some of it is just, oh, that's an interesting scheduling quirk. Others is, okay, you could actually put this to use in your bets. We'll come back NBA next right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Betting on sports? Why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. Firstbet.com. That's the number one. STBet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. We didn't make enough of the Preakness. That was just awesome. It's rare that a horse race, for me anyway, I know a lot of people get charged up by horse racing, but it is rare for one of those to just like sort of stick in your head. But that was incredible how journalism ran down Gosker, the number 9 horse down the stretch, bumping like you're like, oh my God, it's never going to get out of this scrum of horses. And then it did. And it just flew down the stretch.
Yeah, I tried to do the whole, like, split between the two horses and just got crammed. I didn't think he was going to get out of it.
I didn't think so either. And it's also like, you know, we have in-game betting and in every sport. Imagine if you had in-horse race odds in real time at the moment where journalism was banged up there in the middle. By the way, that's a horse racing term, banged up. It would have been, like, plus big time at that point.
I'm just thinking about the hilarious idea of that, of like being able to process yes. numbers that quickly, right? It's like it's a 90-second horse race.
And
like,
the notion that a sports book wouldn't spin you. Oh, sorry, the race is over.
Like, that's one where we talk about like making sure you know, like you're at commercial, you know when there's a break in the action. Like you could only do that if you were at the track somehow, right? Like you'd be like sitting at the window, like watching and talking to the guy taking bets.
They would spin you to the Belmont. We get tweets of Biddy the Book. I just want to read this one before Jake. Tailgate Sports. ESPN Bet has total games played in the NBA Conference Finals over 11.5 minus 105.
Bet. That's a bet over for
me. That's what he's saying. Yeah. Feels like a pretty decent look if you're able to bet more than $10 on ESPN Bet. Well, there's that, Tailgate Sports. Can't help you with that.
I haven't seen that's a great prop. I haven't seen that posted anywhere else.
All right, so what you're saying is that both series, though, I mean, in other words, it's either a sweep or 7 or both go... Here's the thing. Both have to go... One goes 5-7, so it goes 5-7 or 6-6.
Right.
I don't think it's as big of a lock as you think.
I mean,
5-6 is very possible.
It's very possible.
Yeah,
it's possible.
But minus 105, man.
For me, it would still be a small bet.
Because
I have a bet on the over on the Thunder Wolves series, and I definitely lean that way for Pacers Knicks.
Let's talk some hockey, shall we? Jake Hahn joins us. Jake Space Hahn.
That was my slap shot, Gil.
That was that. Was that what it was?
Slap
that
shot.
Does not look very good. It's not very athletic. Jake Hahn joins us now. You can follow him on Twitter at jhahn4, J-H-A-H-N-4, by the way, on the old Twitter machine. And, of course, he's the co-host of The Point, the fantasy hockey show on SiriusXM NHL. Joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, Jake?
What's up, boys? Conference final time, obviously, in the NBA and in the NHL. Just heard you guys talking before you brought me on. The NBA's got all the fresh blood, all these teams that either haven't won a championship ever, or the Knicks who haven't won since, what, the 70s. NHL, it's kind of same old, same old. It's the teams that have been there before. Now, championship-wise, we have some teams working on some droughts, so we could see teams win the Stanley Cup for the first time in a while. But in terms of being in conference finals, Edmonton's been here before. Dallas has been here before. Carolina, we know Florida has. So all four teams with experience in this situation coming up this week.
Well, before we talk about those droughts, can we talk about the biggest drought of them all? And I know we're a day removed here from the aftermath of the Leafs getting knocked out of this Stanley Cup playoffs. But you're in Toronto, and a lot of folks on Game Plus listening to us up in Toronto. Just, again, they haven't won the Cup since 1967. They haven't been to a conference finals, the Leafs, since 2002. They were up 2-0 in this series against Florida, and they were up in Game 3, 3-1, and they gacked it. Where does this, and by the way, then you have Austin Matthews calling his teammates passengers after the series. Brutal. Where does this rank, Jake, like in terms of disappointments of Leafs seasons gone by? How high up is this one?
I think for me, and there's been a lot. There's a lot to pick from, Gil. You could honestly make a good top five list just from this version of the team. The Austin Matthews team, since he got drafted first overall, you could rank them, and everyone's free to their own opinion. And I wouldn't be surprised I wouldn't fault anybody for ranking this number one, just because you had a chance. You just laid it out perfectly. Up 2-0 in the series, up in that game three, and that's where there was kind of a turning point. Then they answer in game six. They actually play a perfect road game in game six, force it to seven, and then honestly have one of the worst game seven performances I think I've ever seen from a team. And a team that we watched, this was a great team all year. We know that they're talented, and then a no-show like that on home ice in game seven. So I wouldn't fault anybody for ranking at one. I still think the loss to the Montreal Canadiens about 4 years ago in the bubble, that was probably the worst one. Up 3-1 in a series that you should have absolutely won against a team that you were way better than. You let them come back, and that was a great opportunity for them that year with that side of the bracket. So I would have it at two for this team, but they continue to just rack it up year after year. And now the annual summer tradition starts, or spring summer tradition starts, Gil, of who do we run out of town in Toronto? Yes. They've already ran out the GM. They've ran out the coach. You know, all eyes are maybe on Brendan Shanahan now, or a player or two. So very interested to see what this management group does and how they come back from yet another gut-wrenching game seven loss.
Yeah, not to belabor it, because we got tweets on this. So is it Matthews and Nylander are the only guys that are safe, and everybody else, Marner and Domi and everybody else, is fair game at this point to be run out of town?
Well, they've committed to Matthews. They've committed to Nylander. Nylander's going to be there for a long time. Now, that's you could move players if you want, and these are contracts. These are very talented players that teams would certainly still line up for that are in the primes of their career. So they could do whatever they wanted with this roster. But I think Matthews is safe. I think Nylander is safe. And Mitch Marner has been an unrestricted free agent all season. And we rarely see a player like this that can put up 100 points in the regular season, that's near the league lead in scoring every single season. Those guys don't get to market. They just don't. You either make a move, you trade them if you're heading towards a rebuild, or you find a way to sign them. And the fact that there's been no pen to paper, and there's already been angst between the fan base and Mitch Marner, I think he's the odd man out here. Probably some other changes in the roster as well, but it does sound like his days in Toronto seem to be over by all accounts.
Man, I felt for everybody, all our listeners and all our friends in Toronto. I felt for him. All right, let's go to the conference finals now, East and West. And this Panthers Hurricanes, we say that in tribute to Andy McNeil, who used to pronounce it Hurricanes for us. Panthers Hurricanes series is sort of like the Knights Oilers series was, which is to say that the team without the home ice is the series favorite, but they will be slight dogs in the four road games. So you have the Panthers as a -131 series favorite, but game number one, the Hurricanes are -126 favorites. How do you see this game and this series?
Well, and we've actually seen a lot of that over the last couple of rounds, Gil. You go back to the second round, a lot of the teams that didn't have home ice advantage were actually priced as the favorite. And in one case, the Carolina Hurricanes, massive favorite over the Washington Capitals, and they looked like a massive favorite. They beat them quite easily. So I think the knock against the Canes, if there is one, it's hard to knock a team that's only lost one game in regulation to get here, is they haven't maybe been tested like some of these other teams, and they've had a bit of a weaker side of the bracket, I think you could argue. And we knew that going in, the Metro was going to be very gettable. And the Atlantic has dominated the Eastern Conference going back 6-7 years now. It's been very hard for any Metro team to even make a cup final. So I got to side with the Panthers here. I just can't bet against this team right now. They seem comfortable playing in any situation, no matter what it is, game seven, whatever it might be. They just seem to handle the pressure better than any other team. So I'm going Florida. And I think the way to play this, Gil, you mentioned it, how they're a slight underdog in this first game on the road. I like playing them on the money line in game one. You know, maybe a half unit play, however you want to shake it out. If they lose the game, I think then you bet them at a better series price in that game. And I think that's the way I want to play this. Instead of laying the minus 125 to start, just hit them game one, get a little bit of plus money and kind of see where the series price goes from there. But I have confidence when it's all said and done that I think Florida's going to be back in the cup final.
Similarly, out west, Dallas, a minus 130 favorite in game one. But if you look at the series price, it is the Oilers that are a tick of a favorite. I'm seeing minus 118 as a series favorite here. How do you play this series?
I can't wait for this series, guys. It's so hard to pick against either of these teams. Edmonton, we know what they have, Connor McDavid, Leon, but there's so much more than that with the depth scoring that they're getting. And you know, it feels like the goaltending has maybe figured itself out a little bit, but they're just playing so well defensively. And Dallas is going to be an excellent test. They're fully healthy now. They're clicking in every area. Jake Oettinger is probably the best goaltender going in the playoffs right now. So strong cases to be made for both sides. But at the end of the day, I go with the best player, and I'm going with Connor McDavid. He's got that look in his eye. They were close last year. They're close again, getting back to the Stanley Cup final here. I'm going to roll with the Edmonton Oilers in this series, guys. I think minus 110 is a pretty fair price. I respect Dallas fully, and that home crowd in Dallas is no joke. Those are not going to be easy games for the Edmonton Oilers, so they're going to have to work for it. I see this going six, probably even seven games. Maybe that could be the move, is playing one of those exact game prices that you got up on the board there. But I like the Edmonton Oilers ultimately to get it done here.
Are you in the camp that the winner of the Stars Oilers wins the cup, or are you not in that camp?
That's where I'm leaning, but it would be hard to pick against Florida in any series if it is indeed Florida. I think if Carolina gets through, I'd have maybe an easier time picking against them. But yeah, I think Stars, Oilers, whoever wins that would be my cup pick as well.
Yes or no? If you're a Stars conviction, do you have any Conn Smythe Oettinger bets that you would make? Yes?
Oettinger's the value over Randon at this point.
Thank you, Jake.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out the Sharp Plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. That's sharpplays.com. Check it out. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Jesse Welch, somewhere out there, he says, somewhere out there, base winner is still talking D-backs metrics for tonight's play. Love that. Just ran him into a wall. I apologize.
I like that the... Well, you brought that up with Spore yesterday.
Yeah.
All I was thinking about was the Diamondbacks, and I was like, well, Mark's got to love the Diamondbacks.
As I was loading that question, I thought to myself, I'm like, oh, we already know the answer to this from him. Yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Brian M., Euro d'Italia, which is in New Jersey, I believe. Talking about the race that Drew was referring to. Ben Handorf, as a long-suffering Leafs fan, Gil, we will need another cryptic miracle like the legend of Bill Barilko for this squad to win another cup. Check out the song 50 Mission Cap by the Tragically Hip to get the full history of this wild happenstance. Andy McNeil, who used to do hockey for us, his Twitter handle used to be the Tragically Hip, I believe.
Really?
Or the Tragically Hip Check. He made it into some hockey thing.
He's one of those guys who changed his handle too many times.
Because I think the Tragically Hip is from Toronto, if I'm not mistaken.
Let me Google.
Yeah. While you're looking for the Tush Push update, why don't you look Google that? And Steve the Proxy, I brought this up yesterday, Steve. I'm glad you're bringing it up again. He goes, is there anything to the thought that OKC versus Indiana would be a ratings disaster for non-NBA hardos? Shouldn't we assume that New York and Minnesota would be the beneficiaries of foul calls in each series? SGA versus Halliburton or Brunson versus Ant, D Def think it's over total games combined. Hey, listen, I can't work reading these tweets. You guys got to spell out the words. No, I totally agree with you, Steve. This is for the, we're so close to the sun on this. We're betting it. We love basketball. But yes, I was just talking about the average sports fan friend in your life who, let's say, is a big football fan, but is kind of like, hey, if LeBron or Steph is playing, I'm into it. But otherwise, I really couldn't care less. This is a nightmare.
You know what? I sat, yes, just to take this to prove your point even more. You know how excited I got yesterday when I had the realization? I hadn't really thought about it this way before, but the realization of, like, these are four teams that are all led by star youngish guards. And it's like, that's really cool and rarely ever happens. Like, usually we've seen the Wings. We've seen all these other different sets of teams.
I always use my buddy Tommy in D.C. as an example. Huge football fan, as many in D.C. are, right? But he's like, if it's a star, if it's Steph, he's into it. But, you know, will he watch these conference finals? Not a chance. Not a chance. And I think he represents a lot of people. Ben Wilson, ladies and gentlemen, in the non-Stormy Bonatoni category, he is the winner of Who Will Be the Most Famous Person to Ever Come Out of VSiN. Ben Wilson joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Always a pleasure to see his face. How you doing, Ben?
I'm great. I'm glad I can win a winner without market.
Yeah, what?
That's a high honor.
Winner without market. There's a market with Stormy, and then there's a winner without Stormy market. You are the favorite in that market.
Good call, Ben. Yeah. That's what I was wondering,
awesome,
too.
Yeah.
It's a golf thing. Nice of you to catch that.
Yeah.
All right, wait. So let's do. I want to do a few sports here. Let's start with the French Open. Your thoughts on that first.
I can't wait to see what, first off, with the draw here coming up, I think Thursday, we have tended to see, Gil, in the past, the folks who organize the draw tend to do some weird things.
Yes.
And when you now have, I mean, for the women, at least, Iga Świątek, who's the, we know the seeds, we just don't know the order, the 5 seed, right? But are they really going to put Iga and Aryna Sabalenka in the same half of the draw? Like that to me is the big question here. And I love also getting the every few weeks just random tweets from people during your show of hey, remember that one time you slandered Egan?
Yes. Yes.
It's been the best running bit ever.
Stole my question.
Exactly. I will say, though, I mean, if we're just comparing odds, right? Remember when Egan was, you're laying a big price for her to win this tournament. That feels, now you're getting to plus 220. That's an awfully big shift. Just generally speaking on that, on a surface that certainly plays the slowest right along with Rome of all these clay court spots. I've always been a huge, and a part of why people make fun of me on for my Iga slanders, because I've always been a huge Aryna Sabalenka fan. Her clay numbers actually are not that big of a dip down from her hard court and grass numbers, which I think would surprise a lot of people. However, a lot of the good clay court data has been on the faster clay, like in Madrid, like in Barcelona, and in Stuttgart, which is an indoor event. But I totally believe that that's justified her and Iga to be basically around the same. I really hope they're not in the same side of the draw, but that to me is very, very interesting where the odds are at there. And men's side, it's simple for me. I just, the quarter four with Taylor Fritz being the 4 seed, being completely out of form, there's like 3 or 4 guys I'm like, please just end up in Q4, because that thing's going to be totally wide open. I really hope Arthur Fies, he's kind of the top of my list for I think there's going to be a total random long shot wild card who wins that Q4 there on the men's side.
Stop dancing around, Benny. Sabalenka or Świątek, who wins head to head?
I think for this particular tournament, I'll go Sabalenka.
For him for this particular tournament. For any tournament, you would say
what?
That.
What? It's the worst form Iga's ever been.
Oh,
right?
No question.
Aryna Sabalenka's playing out of her mind. Like, if it's ever going to happen, it's now. I mean, there's probably no other time, at least, in their careers, they're going to be this evenly priced.
Second best clay numbers behind Iga, Coco, actually. Both Iga and Coco have mental blocks, it appears.
I just wanted to make sure we got it on the record.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I thank you for leading me down that path. I knew I could.
Again, Ben, the non-Stormy market, you're the favorite in that. Yes, okay, yeah. To basketball, you have some Timberwolves plays here.
Yeah, I'll go against the grain, and I respect everything that I just heard Drew Dinsick talk about. But look, we have seen the blueprint at least play out as far as how you beat an Oklahoma City team. It's leverage the youth and inexperience, and show physicality that can match their really good defense. And I'm not going to sit here and say that, look, the best thing that anybody does of these four remaining teams is what Oklahoma City does on defense. However, I believe that that line, the series price, is a little heavy there in favor of Oklahoma City. To me, feels more of a toss-up series. I do believe Minnesota, look, they can go 7, 8, 9 deep of guys you can actually trust in a playoff series. Denver couldn't do that. That's ultimately what could not get them over the hump. And you need that sort of depth to be able to compete with an OKC team that's just so malleable and can throw so many different things at you. So there's a world in which Minnesota is able to find those answers to me. And given that this is such a big price, like I don't see Minnesota, like if it's a close series, them going into OKC and winning a game 7. So I just took a sprinkle on a Minnesota in 6. I mean, they're getting 4-1. And look, Julius Randle, who's just been on an absolute heater now for 6-7 weeks here, average 25 a game in the conference semis, especially if, depending on how the defensive matchups go, if more attention, certainly there's going to be dual attention to both he and Anthony Edwards, no doubt. But I mean, 30-1, when we've seen some shooting struggles for SGA, who's the favorite in that market, 30-1 on Randle to lead the series in points. I just looked at that. I'm like, that seems like a ridiculous price for a guy who is just playing insane basketball. And at one point we thought it was kind of a guarantee to use his player option for next year. Now I don't think you do that. I mean, he's going to get a lot of great offers and one of the few guys to have that ability, given the new cap rules coming into place for next year. So that was a couple plays for me. I also threw in the Isaiah Hartenstein, the series rebounds leader. You're getting that near 3-1, just in a situation where wanting to diversify the portfolio a little bit. I definitely think if you're comparing him and Chet Holmgren, two pretty similarly priced guys as far as leading that series in rebounds, I'd much rather take a Hartenstein that's kind of neutralize what a Rudy Gobert wants to do on the interior, someone who's a little bit more anchored to that part of the floor. So just a few, look, throw three of those out there. You hope to hit one. Pretty good plus money numbers on all those.
All right, Ben, you are, for those who don't know, Ben is a fantastic play-by-play announcer across multiple sports. One of the sports you cover and do play-by-play for is college baseball. So you see a lot of games. Omaha is right around the corner, College World Series. Give us a team right now that you would play in the futures market in terms of winning the title, and then some other teams that have caught your eye as well.
Yep. I believe back in February, I mentioned Clemson, and they remind me a little bit of what Texas A&M's season arc was last year, which was super hot start. I think A&M went like 21-0 last year. Clemson was, I think, 19-1 to start the year. Then they got a bunch of pitching injuries midseason. So they struggled a little bit back into ACC play, and now they've got their guys healthy. I'm going to buy on that dip. I think when I first looked at them, they were 30-1 back in February. Well, now they've dipped to 40-1. They are likely going to host a regional, and they've got a pretty good setup to draw in the ACC tournament. So I still like Clemson. That's a really good team that should not be 40-1. Cam Cannarella having an awesome year, hitting over 330. And then two teams who had no expectations coming into the season, really, but have been awesome. And it's sort of the case in the transfer portal era, where you can put together really good teams out of nowhere. Louisville out of the ACC, K-State out of the Big 12. K-State, by the way, I think is a good long shot pick to win the Big 12 tournament. They play, they're a speedy team. Kit balls in the gaps, which plays really well at Globe Life Field in Arlington. So K-State is a 6 seed. Watch out for them in the Big 12 tournament. Both with very veteran coaches, Pete Hughes for K-State, Dan McDonald for Louisville. Coaches who know what they're doing, how to manage the bullpen, handle the pitching staff once you get to a regional. Those are two, probably going to be like 2 to 3 seeds, and I think they'll be really dangerous in regionals.
Ben, you're awesome. Always appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, guys. Win or without, cash in.
Benny!
You got a shot in the full one, too, but I'm just saying.
Benny and the Bets.
Ben Wilson, everybody. We'll recap all the bets next right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.